Well, hello and welcome, everybody. I'm excited to see what a great turnout we've got, and apologies for the slightly delayed beginning here with working with technology issues. My name is Cheryl Dahl, and I am the Climate Initiative Manager for Solutions Journalism Network, which I joined about a month, more effective in their storytelling and better fulfill their mission of writing stories that move people to action. And so that's the kind of work that we do. We are talking today about how you apply that kind of solutions lens to climate change. And this session is very much like a tutorial or seminar. We're going to dig into the how of that as opposed to just the idea of it. So you're going to get lots of tactical advice and some very specific insight of folks with deep experience in writing and editing about the solutions lens through their publications. At the far right, my right, your left, is Stephen Bedard. He is the co-founder and editor-in-chief of Biographic. Biographic's a Nature magazine that is backed by the California Academy of Sciences and explores the wonder of nature and the promising possible solutions for preserving the earth. Next to him is Magdela Mascal. She's the engagement editor for Covering Climate Now, which is an amazing resource for journalists that talks about how you think about and framing stories. We're going to do a session with three different parts. We're going to talk about what solutions journalism is and what it isn't. So SJN and our definition of solutions journalism is that it's rigorous evidence-based reporting on responses to social and environmental problems. So it isn't taking a side. It is noting that there are solutions and then analyzing them with a sense of rigor the way you would a critical investigative report of a scandal, bringing that same kind of deep digging mindsets and limitations. Response to problem is sort of, here's what's happening, this is what's happening as a result of it, and then how did that come about? What's the background of how that response became a response? It provides evidence of impact that can be documented through qualitative or quantitative, or noting things that others might be able to use, whether that's someone else who's trying to launch the solution, or whether it's someone who is reading about it and wants to deeper understand why it works. And then finally, you observe any limitations. So this isn't just non-critical reporting of here's an idea or ways that it could fall short or things that are missing from the solution. That analytic lens is part of it is okay. The other piece of that is that from which the feeling of failure is still solutions journalism, because what you're looking at is how did that fail in some way from which there are still insights and lessons learned. You are running it through that observation of limitations and sharing the data that they have so far. And where climate change is concerned right now. The understanding of climate change and kind of the engagement with it is growing. Pew Research shows that 72% of people in 17 countries are very somewhat concerned that climate change will affect them personally. But what we're doing at COS, and they found that news coverage is deactivating readers. An analysis of the IPCC report coverage found that 79% of headlines on 25 most linked to websites evoked fear, hopelessness, or overwhelm. That's what people's response was to these news items. And the conversation about it's too late. Whether we are consciously trying to do that or not, that is what is happening. So solutions journalism attempts to activate people to respond to problems. You know, having people take action as a result of reading a story is ultimately direction or directing people to do things, but offering lots of options and lots of possibilities, and then readers can figure out where they want to dig in. So this is one of my favorite SJN slides. It's just sort of acknowledging that we get stuck in this rut of there is a lot of bad news around climate. And so if we're just gathering what we hear or gathering the things from the reports, this is what our coverage is going to look like. And I found that 79% of people surveyed said reporting on problems and effective responses negative stories, and 83% trusted the solution story. So there is something about a relationship with readers and being able to kind of caretake for how that trust builds that requires that solutions be part of the reporting. Multiple ways to approach climate solution stories. SJN has three, maybe over 16,000 stories that are solution stories are in that. And so they're great examples if you want to go look. But you know, mitigation, lessening the effect, adaptation and resilience, there's lots of others as well, but these are kind of some broad categories. What we advocate is for journalists to think about broadening the role of being a watchdog to then including being a guide dog, right? Where could we start to offer to readers more pathways that they can walk down and show them what's possible. A few examples of kind of what it isn't. I'm going to do something. That's more of a commitment than an actual reaction. So, on the left, task force, on the right, a specific story about a small city that's implementing drones or kind of the idea of smart farming as something that is about to come to Africa. And the story on the right is actually following a farm that's using some of these technologies. Related to climate are complex. There's no such thing as one answer that's the only answer or even one main strategy. It's going to take a lot of different solutions. So quoting one expert saying, we have to ditch red meat, and that's what it's all. It's a Brazilian farm that tried to look into converting to more sustainability, and they failed. And it highlights all of the reasons why they failed. It's also not the instant. It doesn't really give readers a pathway to do anything. It also makes this about cult of personality. It also tends to use this kind of hero worship of attributing the work of lots of people or system shifts to one person, right? Which is something that we like to do in our storytelling culturally in the US, with this individualism thing, but it's not very effective for solutions reporting. Service journalism, here's something you can do with your home. So we're gonna talk about some tactics and dig in, and each of our panelists is gonna start off and lead part of this discussion with some insights and personal experiences for these topics. So Stephen, do you wanna kick us off for how do you find solutions-focused stories? And I know also that your magazine has a slightly different definition of what a solution is, so I'd love for you to clarify.
Thank you all for joining us today, and thanks, Cheryl, for that great introduction. I'm really happy to be here as someone who's led a magazine focused at its heart, solutions more deeply, think a bit differently than we might have in the past, just revealing the issues that we're dealing with. And I think we are barraged with the crises and investigative reporting that goes on, but because that's important. But I also know that we all know, and as Cheryl just described, the public is getting beyond that. So how do we do bar? Not entirely sure how to define it. With biographic specifically, we have a slightly different or even more refined have a editorial filter, or when we're looking for solution stories, they also need to have a biodiversity, renewable energy technologies, unless they have a connection to biodiversity and so forth. Solutions stories a little bit different, I think, is kind of a bit of a crisis in journalism itself, is this doom and gloom reporting. We're trying to address that by giving people hope. In some cases, that is very much a clear solution that is in place. It's been in place for years. It's worked. That's kind of at the one end of the spectrum for our solutions, what we call solution stories. Sometimes it's just inspires the beginning of a community effort to combat. Biographic is the sort of magazine that it is, focused on biodiversity. I will try to keep most of my thoughts related to climate change and how we tell solution stories around climate change, which I think is about the hardest nut to crack. Naturally, the solutions to that issue need to be global in scale. And I think that's true, but I also think it's not necessarily true. I think there are, I think the global solutions absolutely important, but I think we need to be telling it as Catherine Hayhoe, telling the local stories. We have to be telling. We at Biographic are kind of, we're in the adaptation and resilience realm, not so much in the mitigation realm. We're not were stories that, you know, about people who are making strides to make human communities and ecological communities really critical.
So, Stephen, given your lens of finding something local also has to do with biodiversity and the kind of specific attributes you're looking for solutions, are you typically starting your search for stories like and get the ideas that wind up in the magazine?
It's a great question. To be honest, I wish we were doing a little more of the internal story development than we are right now. I think we did that early on, I think due to just funding, develop stories internally. So a lot of times it is just in the evaluation, not have even a hint of a solution. And if, you know, I've written a story, it's not the right story for Biographic. What are people doing about this? What are they at least thinking about doing?
Yeah.
But quite often, I would say some potential solution there. But we definitely work with journalists to try to develop that, to try to dig more deeply, to look into what people are doing to address the problem.
So do you have examples where a journalist...
Yeah. Let me think about that briefly. I mean, I think I may not be responding directly to your question, but I do have a couple of examples of stories that I think are just, that fall into the realm for us of a solutions story, whether they had. But in some cases, like I said, we're looking for stories where they're human, make it clear that we are not apart from but are a part of really on the ecological communities, and so we try to tell those stories of where these local communities are trying to. I think there's also there are interesting stories to tell in the wildlife world in animals and their responses to and their essentially their own behavioral solutions to climate change, whether it is a range expansion that sort of thing. I think in a lot of cases there are more and more examples of, and I think it raises some interesting questions about what does it even mean to be native anymore when you have this shifting world that animals by necessity have to respond to. And I think I probably meet the definition of those don't probably meet the definition of solutions journalism networks looking at to just give readers some sense of that all hope is not lost.
Excellent. Doing more for Kyles and Climate Now. But
yeah, I mean, so many. Yeah, a lot of my work is reading all of your work and all the work out there, identifying where the gaps are and looking at the data about a book trail you shared around readers' appetites and their dismay and their grief, which is a lot of what we're seeing. I got into news because that's why I moved from the marketing world to the news world and went to grad school at CUNY for engaged journalism. And the idea of engaged journalism is that I'm always thinking from that realm, but I think that even reading news from the perspective of crisis, what is missing from a community, rather looking at what is there, the assets that already exist, what success stories are happening, and moving from that perspective. And I think that takes like a real reorientation. News coverage exists. It's helpful for me to like have some categories in mind, not because these categories are necessarily the way people have solutions, then there's the policy solutions. I think those take up actually like too much space. I think there's also like community and activism solutions, like what are the organizing that's happening on the ground? And it's a lot more than just protests happening, right? And I think there's a lot of, and then and I think that both are important, and it's not really even helpful to whether it's just about explaining what those are and what fits within them for someone in their lives. I could keep going, but I think,
I'll piggyback off what to approach sourcing. I mean, there's like so many groups, environmental justice groups throughout the U.S. already doing so much work. And I think for solution stories, you know, characters, people are really such an important integral part of solution stories. And I think it's often a good way to start talking to people and just being like, what are you working on online?
So I think all three of you kind of hit this idea of starting with community. Stephen was through the lens of something that about getting to the community to actually source ideas and stories. And I'm in the other research that was part of some of the studies that I cited pieces from, there's information about how newsrooms have been historically pretty lousy at kind of cultivating good connections with the community, and specifically communities of color or places where the climate impacts are landing asymmetrically and worse. And so I'd love to hear when you talk about going to the community and asking for ideas or kind of having the ideas bubble up, what does that look like on the ground? Is it conversations with sources that you've had long-term relationships who are giving you ideas, or is it doing outreach to places that you haven't ever touched on before?
I'll jump in. I think it's a mix. I think in what you pointed out in terms of like the how newsrooms approach communities is very important, that separation of where like that extractive nature of it, of that kind of reporting. And I mean, I think it's just really important to like let facilitating and uplifting their voices. Just being wary of not there's taking the proper like tack and
I think solution journalism, it enhances when you're at a time of crisis. You're deciding to show up when they're solving an issue, when they're if it's a psychological solution, when they're actually moving through grief, like mm-hmm. how they're processing that. If they're organizing, what is the success in the organizing principles? If they're implementing a technological solution, you're showing up when that's working for them. So I think that it's such an easy, but it's an inherent way of building trust with the community. And I think also what's really important is making sure that you're continuously showing up and following up on the story and delivering that story to them and not just there to get the code or the source that you need.
And we'll talk about this a little later, but I just want to flag that some of what's being discussed here is a shift in the role of journalists and in the kind of responsibilities or the mindset of what's my job, right? Because the idea that you should be thinking about the reactions people have to your stories, all about what you want that reaction to be, those are things that very often haven't been part of the way traditional journalism is taught, right? And I think this is an evolution happening in response to the needs of society changing, the nature of media changing, and it means starting from a very different mindset. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but I just want to mention, they're talking about a shift here in what's your job, which I think is really fundamental. So Paola, how do you pitch your stories to get them to take?
I agree. I think there's a comfort in like the narrative that we, even though it's kind of like an obsession from editors, sometimes, not always, and some newsrooms are doing really good work in prioritizing solution stories. I think there's an inherent tension there, and that they're just used to telling, they're comfortable with the story that they're, say a lot of publications have resources that kind of like lay out guidelines of what they expect from a pitch. So I mean, I encourage you to like look at that, try to like, I think it's important to invest time into like research the topic you're speaking of, but prioritizing not really a topic, more of a story forward. I've like, for instance, including characters to like really push that story forward. For instance, like these that are already doing this work, they're there. You know, I can start from a big topic and you can look for a community or vice versa. Include evidence for why the solution is, evidence that it's like working and its impact. And like Cheryl said, its limitations.
And Paula, I just want to follow up on that because do you get pushback from editors or are there questions about what's the scalability of this? Because very often solutions start small in 2 years in the field. So how do you respond to that kind of pressure that it's got to be big to be right. newsworthy?
Agreed. I think just hinting at it could be bigger and perhaps there's already places that are trying to do it or doing it. That would be like a way to like say, oh, this is a solution that's working here and it could work here as well or it already is working here. And then I think also in your pitch, just like laying out how you're going to go about reporting that story. I think freelancers especially have a conundrum to play in terms of like how much research and reporting do I do before I pitch. I think as a reporter, you should value your time especially do reporting, but then also realize that you should, value your time I think also just laying out why should your readers care and why is this a story for now. I think with climate change, why now is pretty apparent. Climate is in the process of beginning. Is it already developed and deployed and already seeing different iterations of it across the U.S., kind of like laying out those kinds of, and why should that publication readers in particular care? And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about.
Thank you. Did any of you have things to tag on with?
Yeah, I think, I think it's, we all have that skepticism because we're journalists and solutions journalism. I think we're all a little bit knee-jerk about in our skepticism about as significant as climate change. So read pitches with that level of skepticism. Generally, though, I'm as the editor of a solutions focused publication, I'm fortunate enough that we've been around long enough that we into us with those types of stories. But I think these are really climate change is significant. We need to be shouting loud and clear that this is a problem. But as far as solutions to the problem, figuring out when is the right time to tell that story is really key. So usually I will try to work with them and figuring out when is the right time to tell the story. And when the right time to tell the story is when something interesting is happening. We have the luxury of being a magazine that publishes features and long-form features. We don't do news. So often we are following news stories that might be 2 years old and reporting on how did times 2 years ago, what's happening with that now. I think that's really, really great fodder for us and for journalists who are looking for those types of telling the story about an approach that is midstream. We don't need final conclusions, final things we can conveyed and we want to show action in our features. I think timing is and evaluating them to just figure out, like have them go back to their sources. It's like when is the right time for us to be there? And it might be a year out, but we hang on to that story and continue continue to express interest.
So I just want to amplify, I think you've both made points about how the definition of what is a news peg and what is recency mean for climate change stories, right? And you may have specific things for your individual publication, but I think problematic is the current existing idea that unless something has just happened, it's not newsworthy. Because we're covering a crisis that is a slow-rolling, everyday crisis, right? It is not an episodic, event-based crisis. And covering it that way leads to exactly the kind of outputs we have right now, which is, hey, there's some bad news, I'll just write about that, as opposed to something that's more proactive or gives readers context of, yes, this didn't happen yesterday, but when we last left this story, you know, here's where we were, and here's how this relates to an ongoing relationship and works for them and their particular audiences. But it means having more nuance around newsworthiness than if it didn't happen this week, or there's not some big, or there's not some big new thing at this moment, it's not new.
Scalability with climate change, it's like often solutions or potential solutions, but often with a story, I'll get a pitch about a bit more on the surface revealed that, oh, this is, this has been proven elsewhere, or this is something that is in the works in this really small community, but has the potential or is kind of in the process of being applied. Example, where I really found, we're talking the stories about this specific example where we're on the ground, we're talking to the people, we're feeling their passion for the work that they're doing. But it's not a small story. It's actually like what they're doing can be done here and here and here.
Yeah. So we probably dug,
you know, the other side of it.
Can you kick us off to talk about framing stories?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I did touch on it a little bit. I think it's important to keep in mind that like framing doesn't necessarily come in afterwards or at the end. Like the order of the presentation isn't necessarily the order of the way it works in the world, right? Framing to me can be thought of as something you do at the end, like a literal picture, throughout the whole process, and really originate with the information that is being shared with you from the community that you're reporting on, and then packaging that in a way that you think would be most useful to them with the reporting that you've done. I think being adaptation and mitigation and the types of solutions that are on the theme, like the subject matter that it can cover, technological policy, et cetera. I think it's also really important to remember that sometimes we keep our reporting like too high level because of the crisis that's happening being so big and so vast. We keep it at that very federal or even like international level. But solutions really are most important to people at the level that they can act on them. And it's just as helpful for someone to hear about a solution happening far away from them if, as you said, it can be replicated by them or by their own community. And our job is to show how that can be replicated and where it is being replicated. I think they keep us from an apocalyptic future. And it was a really big question. But I think something that came to mind for me is like, as journalists, we should be asking ourselves while we're working on a story or one that even a story that we've almost finished is done. What can someone do with this? And maybe the story isn't done, or maybe there's more reporting to do. General awareness of an issue or general awareness of a solution. And I might say that that's not enough anymore, and that there needs to be like some actionable thing that someone can do based on information that we're sharing with them.
I would build on that to say that also starts to look at framing stories can include what's the thing that's missing. Some of what McDowell is saying is that journalists can bring a deeper level of analysis and expertise to these stories. You are closest to these topics and you see the systems that are in place and you're able to see how do pieces need to fit together for something to really take off. And it's completely legit to lead somewhere and follow that, right? So I think some of this is, how can journalists take the pattern recognition that we're really good at and apply it in a way that starts to put the puzzle pieces together for people, instead of it being the situation of what we land with is, wow, this problem's really big and there's these scattered solutions and y'all that you all develop on your beats that could be really helpful as a guide dog to kind of to move to get things done. So. So all of this starts to lean toward, there are some ways in which the role of journalists start to shift, and the way we think about framing stories, the way we think about pitching stories, and the really.
Yeah, I think that's the orientation that I came here on. Building bridges between communities so that they can be in conversation with another and providing information to each other.
There's a tension, especially with like journalism and like advocacy when it comes to like these, or seeing like they're promoting or advocating for a specific thing. But I mean, I think not.
An approach, some sort of solution. And just as rigorous as we are, and so a journal, I think, useful, and I think when you're talking about a solutions journal.
Conversation about what needs to change, how bias has traditionally been defined by journalism and by one of the things, and how legitimate, how it brings their gender, their geography, their social about stories, all of the things. So if we want to think about how objective without denying any advocacy. So.
Or not the question, but just the idea that like journalism can show up in the world. Because sometimes it would be reported listicle on how someone
Times, which is based in New York, our business and sustainability. She went to Haiti and ended up writing about trash recycling there and kind of the enormous shift in culture that is provoking. And one of these communities that is analyzed, and whenever you hear about Haiti, it's always the bad things that are making the international. We've got about 15 minutes left. We were told we could go a little later since we had the technical delay, but.
And yeah, I mean, it's just like, I can't do this, go to me.
Hi. My name is Ken Fountain, I'm a local freelancer. I'm interested in hearing more about how
limitations in stories.
So if you're reporting about a solution and the section where you're that look like.
To my point earlier, I think it's a lot of things. When I do think.